Chapter 24. Echoes of Memory. Snapping his right hand out like a viper's strike, Afra Frenfear caught a swinging axe by the handle just under the head, only a finger's breadth from his face, and so strong was his determined arm lock that he stopped the swing cold. Up came Afra Frenfear's right foot, going high and across to the left, then swinging back to the right over the dwarf's caught arms and down. The stubborn dwarf was strong enough to prevent the monk from yanking the axe from his hands, but he should have simply let go, for as he was driven forward and down by the monk's pressing leg, his arms bent awkwardly, and Afra Frenfear punched out with his right, driving the pointed back of the axe into the dwarf's forehead. The dwarf howled in pain and fell away, leaving its axe behind in the monk's grasp. Feeling pressure closing, the monk flipped the weapon back over his shoulder, spinning it through the air, and turned fast to see it clip off a second attacker's shoulder, doing no real damage as the dwarf spun to the left to bat it aside. But it was enough, for the charging dwarf never got fully back around, and as he neared, Afra Frenfear's foot hit him squarely in the face, snapping back his head. He staggered, and Afra Frenfear came on furiously, battering him about the head, sending him sprawling away. Afra Frenfear turned again at the last moment, snatching a thrown spear right out of the air, bringing it around, reversing his grip, and launching it right back at the dwarf who had thrown it. That dwarf, too, fell away, grabbing at the spear that stuck from her shoulder. The monk felt a punch in the side and spun back, but no one was there. It wasn't a punch, he only then realized, but a crossbow quarrel, for he saw yet another dwarf and a fifth beside it, the one who had shot him reloading his crossbow, the other one leveling hers. Afra Frenfear set himself, feeling the tug in his side from the deeply embedded crossbow bolt. The dwarf woman fired. Afra Frenfear's hand snapped up and out, deflecting the quarrel high, but the movement brought a great wince of pain as the embedded bolt tore at his insides. Instinctively, he reached down to grab at it. Then he threw his left arm up defensively as the one he had clipped with the thrown axe came charging in, warhammer swinging. The monk took the blow, his arm going numb under the weight of it, and returned a stunning open palm into the dwarf's face. But now two crossbows were leveled his way. He started to set, then arched suddenly as a spear drove hard into his back. The dwarf drove in with all her strength. Afra Frenfear looked down to see the spear tip poking out from his belly. He tasted blood in his mouth. He looked up, just in time to see two crossbow quarrels flying for his chest. His arms would not answer his call. He couldn't catch these missiles or deflect them or block them. He was only slightly aware of the spear being ripped out of his back, only distantly cognizant that he was then staring up at the sky, lying on his back, fighting for his breath. He knew that he had to get up immediately. But Brethenden Margaster had spent many licentious nights in Waterdeep, surrounded by too many women and far too many drinks. As he had grown older, he always shook his head after he came out of near unconsciousness the next morning and cradled his face, which felt many sizes too large for his body, and swore that he would never again imbibe that much alcohol. He felt that way now on an unimaginable scale, as if he had swallowed the contents of every bottle at a raucous party, then been kicked repeatedly on the side of his head, then had fingers jabbing his eyes without pause. "Just kill the fool and be done with it," he heard a woman's voice. Brevenden opened his eyes. It took him several attempts and took in the unfamiliar room. He felt the mustiness about him, the ancient dust. Where was he? He couldn't make sense of any of this, except that he certainly recognized three of the five of the people in the room with him. The woman, the huge man, the small drowned man. They had all been on the boat in the harbor fight. That warhammer carried by the giant man had broken the mast with an incredible strike.
"Ulfgar, son of Bjornagar," Brevenden mumbled, for who else might it be?
"See, he knows ye, and sure that he'll be finding a way to pay you back," the woman said. "Just kill him,
If you say another word, someone in this room may well die, said the drow man, but it won't be him. Brevenden felt a hand on his shoulder and turned his head to see a drow woman, eyes closed, casting. He tensed, wondering if this was the end of him, but then relaxed as waves of healing magic swept through him. Sit up, the small drow man said. And when Brevenden didn't immediately respond, the woman beside him grabbed him by the shoulder and hauled him upright. Do you know what happened to you? The drow man asked, moving very close. The phylactery necklace.
Asbiel, Brevenden said. And the name shocked him, as did the fact that he felt free suddenly, as he hadn't in many 10 days.
Asbiel is destroyed, the drow explained. He'll bother you no more.
But we will, said yet another drow, a taller man,
and Brevenden blinked and for a moment thought that maybe he had indeed imbibed too much alcohol as the man transformed before his eyes, becoming a tall and lanky, red-haired human.
I am High Captain Kurth, he said.
Or he was before you decided to attack our city, the other drow man said. Brevenden spent a long moment trying to digest all of that, whispering as much to himself as to them.
Why am I alive?
Because you are going to help us rid Luskan of your filthy gnolls and the other mercenaries you brought here, the drow who went by Kurth answered. You are going to help us restore the order of the city properly.
The gnolls, Brevenden said.
He shook his head, not in denial of them, but in denial of all that had transpired. How had he been so foolish, so vile? He had sided with gnolls, with a demon, as had the other nobles of his house. His house, House Margaster, once so glorious. What had become of it? What had he done?
You were coerced by a demon, the smaller drow said, and it took Brevenden a moment to wonder if he had spoken his terrible thoughts aloud. Then he remembered more and knew that he hadn't needed to, not for this one.
Kimuriel,
he whispered under his breath. He thought it a name, the name of a drow, this drow, who had been in his thoughts as Asbiel had assailed his very soul.
The demon is purged, Kimuriel said flatly. Asbiel will bother you no more.
Only to be replaced by you in my head?
Brevenden argued. The drow snickered.
Only when I choose to be. But that will not be the case in the deal you have just been offered.
What deal?
You do as we ask, and you will remain in some position of power here in this city, High Captain Kurth told him. You will find it a lucrative offer.
And one that will allow Brevenden Margaster to restore some bit of his reputation, if he is wise in his decisions, said the big man he knew to be Wulfgar.
Should have just killed him, said the woman.
So I should choose?
Brevenden asked again, simply to clarify all of this shocking information in his own thoughts.
You already made your choice, Kimuriel told him, and now you will do as you have been told.
Because if I don't, you will kill me.
Another snicker from Kimuriel.
Your imagination fails if you think that.
Brevenden Margaster felt a wave of foul thoughts filtering through his mind, turning his every observation and reflexive response into an image of utter horror. He closed his eyes, slapped his fists against them. He screamed as loudly as he could, trying to deny the suggestions, the images, the emotions. Finally, they subsided, but only because of Kimuriel, and nothing to do with Brevenden's denials or mental response. And the drow left him then with the complete understanding that he would be begging for death for a long while before the drow ever offered him the mercy of it.
You do not understand what it is to be an elf, do you?
Brother Afafrenfir heard the woman's voice, but it was not the voice of a dwarf, more melodious, distant. He felt his blood pumping.
No, I would not want to live in a world without dragons.
This time it was a male voice, elven, no, drow.
a voice he recognized.
Drizzt,
are ye more trapped by the way the world sees ye, or by the way ye see the world seeing ye?
Madness. A woman, an image of Catti Bree, but different, younger perhaps. Her hair styled in a manner as Effa Frenfear had never seen. But those deep blue eyes. Yes, it was Catti Bree.
Suddenly, Effa Frenfear saw a child, elven, beneath the torn body of an elf woman. Was this the first voice he had heard?
Blood. Blood everywhere.
His blood?
He saw her again, but she was not a child. And oh, how he recognized her. And it was the same bloodied child he knew. He just knew.
But who was she? How did he know her?
A profound sadness overwhelmed him. The words came as emotions, came as images, came as experiences. Their deaths usually come from the front.
Drizzt's voice again.
After Frenfear's thoughts spun. He found an image of Parbid then, so clear and close that he felt as if he could reach out and touch him once more. Images of his own life flickered about him, his loves, his fears, his father denying him and throwing him out of their home. The last look on his mother's face. But other images intermingled, as if his own memories were mixing with those of another. With those of Drizzt, of course. It was only the sound of dwarves laughing that brought him back to the present and the physical. He opened his eyes and realized his pain. The dwarves were all around him, four now, showing one another the wounds they had suffered in the fight.
"He killed him to death," one woman roared. "Me husband's dead and I'm paying that one back."
He saw the dwarf woman approaching, spear in hand. It made sense now, though. Afer Frenfear understood. Drizzt had transcended here, and bits of the drow's memory remained, the echoes of a ghost. Afer Frenfear was near death. Had nearly slipped to the nether realm, and thus had he heard those memories, felt them keenly. And he felt, most of all, the joy of Drizzt. Oh, how he wanted to go and tell Catti Bree and the others. Drizzt was gone, but the retriever hadn't killed him or taken him, no. He had escaped through transcendence. He had stepped from this life willingly to fool the retriever and save them. The demons didn't have him. He was forever beyond them now, and in a place of beauty and peace and oneness. A place Afa Frenfear hoped to soon join. He felt peace at that. Drizzt's friends should not cry for him, nay, for he was in the harmony of the universe now, in the place of purest joy. Afa Frenfear desperately wanted to tell them, but he knew he would not leave this place. He was broken, and even if that approaching dwarf didn't stab him, he was already mortally wounded. She leaned over him, staring down at him with hateful eyes, lifting the spear to plunge it into his chest. Brother Afa Frenfear smiled at her, giving her pause. It was time, he knew. Grandmaster Cain had been right. And now, he was ready. The monk felt his physical body come apart, bursting into bits of light, into scattering memories. The torn and flittering pages of the book that had been Brother Afa Frenfear. He kept his physical presence just long enough to see the startled look on the face of the dwarf. He wanted to tell her that he forgave her, but he had no voice with which to speak. The dwarf's expression shifted from curiosity to fear, to sheer outrage. She lifted her spear suddenly and stabbed it down. But she didn't hit Brother Afa Frenfear, for he was already gone. She didn't hit anything. Except perhaps punching a hole in the monk's empty robes.
That one changed his mind quick, Bonnie Charlie said to Wulfgar soon after the encounter with Brevenden.
might have thought a Waterdeep lord would have a bit more spunk than that in him.
Wulfgar sighed.
Kimoriel, he explained. Do not underestimate the power and danger of that one. I'm sure that he let Brevin and Margaster understand exactly what would befall him if he did not play along.
Bah!
Bonnie Charlie snorted, sounding so much like Brunner at that moment that Wulfgar almost laughed aloud.
Trust me on this, he told her. Kimoriel is the most dangerous creature you have ever encountered. Ever.
His tone left no room for debate and stole the grin from Bonnie Charlie's face.
If you ever forget that, there is nothing I will be able to do to save you, Wulfgar added.
Damned drow elves, she said. And why are ye making of them friends, then?
One of them, Wulfgar corrected. Perhaps someday I'll get the chance to tell you all about Driz Doerten. Perhaps I'll introduce you, and you will understand.
She didn't seem convinced.
Or maybe there are two drow I would name as friends, Wulfgar went on. Jarlaxle.
He stopped when Kimoriel came back into the room. He noted that Bonnie Charlie took a step away from the approaching drow. Yes, she had heard his warning. You will both do as Beniago instructs, the Psionicist told them. I am off to the south.
Gontalgrim?
Wulfgar asked eagerly. Eventually, perhaps. But no.
Take me.
I would possibly be taking you to your death, fool.
You just had me fight a demon. This is a chance I'm willing to take. Take me, Kimoriel, I beg. Have I not earned that much from you at least?
Kimoriel started to respond, but stopped and considered Wulfgar for a long moment. Are you so desperate to find your friends that you would risk your—
Yes, he interrupted, of course.
Kimoriel considered it for a moment. Very well. You might prove of value to me. He turned to Bonnie Charlie. Do as Beniago instructs. No. If he's going, I'm going, she said. No, you're not, Kimoriel replied simply. She started to argue, but looked to Wulfgar, who shook his head at her.
Do as Beniago instructs, Wulfgar told her. Please. I'll be back for you. You have my word.
I've not e'er been stupid enough to take a man at his word, the clearly despondent woman replied.
Then you'll be pleasantly surprised, Wulfgar assured her.
He walked over and kissed her on the forehead and whispered in her ear.
I will come find you. Stay safe. And do as Beniago.
Yeah, I heard ya, she grumbled.